On November 14th, Mark Gottlieb, the Secretary of the State Department of Transportation, released an ambitious proposed Department of Transportation budget for 2015-2017 biennium. It's ambitious because it includes $750 million in new taxes and fees, and it would divert $574 million from the state general fund. Why was it an ambitious budget? Because the projected deficit at the end of that biennium was about $680 million. 4 days later, thanks to the Transportation Secretary for stopping in. Mark, thank you very much.
Pleasure to be here, Steve.
Well, let's talk about the overall condition. I mean, you've been secretary for 4 years, almost. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What did you find? Because when I went through the 584-page budget request, it talks about pavement distress index. So give us the overall picture, sir.
As you know, Steve, a couple years ago, the legislature and the governor got together and created the Transportation Finance and Policy Commission, 10-member bipartisan citizen group, to really take a look at where we stand with transportation in the state, both from a perspective of what do we need to do in the future to make sure that we're going to continue to have a safe and efficient system that our state's economy depends on, and then, you know, what are those needs going to be and how are we going to pay for them. And the commission made some recommendations in early 2013, and I think one of those was they had taken a very careful look at the condition of our system and found that we have significant needs going forward to make sure that we're preserving the asset that we have, that we're increasing transportation safety and making sure that we're addressing congestion issues where we have to, and that we had, as you say, a significant deficit that we needed to overcome.
Right. All those recommendations of that panel 2 years ago didn't get very far. Instead, in the current biennium, we borrowed, I think, $991 million. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. You came out with an ambitious but realistic plan to no longer borrow at that level. I think you're $186 million
right.
under that in the
right.
next biennium.
Right.
So let's walk through these recommendations one by one. We're highlighting the 10 biggest. So, Mark, I just asked a fiscal bureau to score it, and your budget would spend $7.4 billion over the biennium, which is an increase of 12%. So I have two questions regarding a 12% increase. Number one, the Wisconsin Taxpayer Alliance reported that in 2010, Wisconsin spent about $635 per capita on highways, which was higher than the national average of 508, 18th nationally. But in the same newsletter, it said that we spend less than the so-called cold states.
Mm-hmm.
Do we spend more or less or just about right?
Well, climate's a big issue, and I think you need to really compare us to the upper Midwestern states that face the same kind of maintenance issues that we do. For example, just to give you an example, in the last 10 years, the price of salt has doubled,
mm-hmm.
and we use about 500,000 tons of road salt a year. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, those impacts you have to be thinking about. And we also have, in Wisconsin, as a result of really of our dairy heritage, we have more paved roads in our state all year-round access paved roads than a lot of other states have. Again, that kind of goes back to the history of dairy and having to be able to get milk to market on a daily basis. So, again, I think we've taken a very careful look. The commission took a very careful look at what it's going to take to maintain our system, both the state and local level, and that's what this budget request is based off of.
And then the second thing I want to ask you to clarify in light of the first bullet point, does this budget assume a certain level of uncertainty in terms of federal funding? Federal funding, as you know, has been about 28% of our transportation budget.
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider the federal government now a uncertain partner, given the uncertainties in Washington?
The assumptions in this budget are that our federal aid will continue at its current level. I certainly think it would be unrealistic for us to assume any increases in federal aid because of the problems that exist right now with the Federal Highway Trust Fund, which are very significant problems. The
yes.
federal government's been backfilling the Highway Trust Fund with general fund dollars for a number of years, and that's an issue that Congress is hopefully going to deal with. But so we're assuming a static federal aid picture, which I think is probably the most realistic thing to base our assumptions on.
The other side of that, if the federal government becomes a unfaithful partner and it drops its 28%, then this budget doesn't cover any potential loss in federal aid, does it, sir?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, point two, it raises $378.8 million from a new 2.5% tax on manufactured suggested retail price of new vehicles, and I just want to, not including destination charges, I found that in there.
Okay.
Is it a flat 2.5%? So if I go out and buy a low-priced Kia, it's 2.5%. And I'm never going to do this, but if I buy a $90,000 Mercedes, is it a flat 2.5?
Correct.
Is there any exemption if I buy a new vehicle that's less than $10,000? Do I still pay it?
As it's proposed, it's a flat 2.5% on the MSRP, irrespective of the vehicle value.
For those that can afford a $90,000 Mercedes, why not double it? 5%, 6%, 7%? Why the flat 2.5? How was the 2.5 arrived at?
One of our objectives, Steve, in this budget was, one of the things that the state's been, I won't say criticized for, but one of the problems that we've had that we've tried to overcome is an extremely narrow base of financing for transportation. So we get almost 90% of our revenues right now from gas taxes and vehicle registration fees, almost 90% of our state revenues. So we were looking at alternatives to broaden that base. The highway use fee that you're talking about is one of the ways that we could broaden the base. We think that it sort of aligns well with the notion of a user fee based pay-as-you-go kind of a system. You're obviously paying it up front when you purchase the vehicle, but typically vehicles are, their purchase is financed, so they're paid, the vehicle itself is paid for over a period of years. So you would be paying this fee over a period of years. We think for an average car, average new purchase vehicle, amortized over, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, we're looking at a $10 to $15 per month charge. And you could look at that really as...
Per month, I want to be sure.
Per month, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Excuse me.
That's how much it increased the payment. And so we think of that as sort of an ongoing fee to use our highway system and a way, as I said, to really broaden the base.
Okay. Let's look to bullet point three. Raises $358.3 million more from higher taxes on gasoline and diesel fuel. And in your conference call with journalists on Friday, you said this amounts to a 5% increase in the gas tax, which is 30.9, not including the two peck foot pennies, okay? And a 10% increase in diesel fuel. Why the 10-cent increase in diesel fuel, which is double the 5 cents on gasoline? Okay.
First, you said 5% and 10%. It's 5 cents and 10 cents.
Just
to clarify.
Thank you for the correction.
Differential tax on diesel really for two reasons. One is the highway use fee that we just talked about a minute ago, that applies only to passenger cars and light trucks under 8,000 pounds. So your heavier commercial vehicles do not pay that fee. So we wanted to make sure that we're trying to put as broad and equitable a proposal together as we can. So we have some, you know, cost to vehicle to automobile owners, but then also some costs to make sure that we're also, you know, imposing some costs on heavy trucks, because we're not increasing heavy truck registration fees, we're not applying the highway use fee to heavy trucks. So this is a way for the trucks to pay something. That's one reason. The other reason for the differential rate is, frankly, that we all know that heavier vehicles, they impose more wear and tear on our system. They impose more wear and tear on the pavements and on our bridges, and we thought we should have a system that represented that. And again, I'll just say we're not in any way, shape, or form unique in that if this proposal were to be adopted. There are a number of other states that do have differential taxes between gasoline and diesel. And the federal government, the federal motor fuel tax actually is 6 cents higher on diesel than it is on gasoline.
And I want to say this correctly. If the gas tax goes up 5 cents, there I said not percent, do you believe that this would cost the owner of an average sedan in Wisconsin about $27 more a year?
Correct, $27 a year.
Okay.
Correct.
A year, okay.
Right.
We have some major trucking companies. There's one in Mondovi, the Schneider National. How are they reacting to this?
I haven't heard any reactions from them. I will point out that interstate trucking pays their fuel tax a little bit different than you and I do, in the sense that they don't pay their tax based upon where they bought their fuel. They base it upon where they operated their vehicle. So you operate an interstate truck, you know, wherever you bought that fuel, you're paying the fuel tax rate that applies in the state where you're operating that. So however many miles you ran in Wisconsin, you'd be paying the Wisconsin fuel tax. And, you know, let me say, I have not had discussions with the trucker since the proposal was made, but I'll tell you that discussions we've had with them prior to, you know, over the past years, have been that as and I don't want to, you know, mischaracterize what they've been saying, but the way I took out of what they've said is that, you know, you pass the constitutional amendment, which we did on November 4th, and you tell us and you guarantee that every penny that we pay in fuel taxes is going to go to transportation, mm-hmm. and we now have that guarantee because of the constitutional amendment.
Passed overwhelmingly, right? I think 80%
of the vote. So if you can pass that and give us that guarantee, then we're willing to pay higher fuel taxes because of all the industries in the world, they depend the most on having a safe and efficient system, and they know how valuable that system is to their ability to do business and compete.
Is this more viable because gas prices have been dropping? I mean, you and I are now paying $2.83, $2.85, $2.89. Is this more acceptable now, Mr. Secretary?
Well, I think it's natural to think that people would be more open to a small increase in fuel taxes at a time when fuel prices are lower than they have been over the last couple of years. So I think that's true. The thing about fuel taxes is that we have to keep in mind is that, you know, as vehicles have become more fuel efficient, this has impacted the amount of gallons that people use. But nonetheless, the fuel tax still is the biggest single component of our state revenue stream. We currently get about $1 billion a year from fuel taxes. So it would be very difficult to put a package like this together to adequately fund our system and not have that on the table.
And just to let's put that in context. Our gas tax is 30.9 cents, excluding the PECFA. And the Taxpayer Alliance says that's about sixth highest in the nation. Would we get even higher in the rankings with this 5 cent increase?
First of all, I'm not sure I agree on the sixth highest.
I've seen that
reference, and I think it ignores the fact that there are states out there that put sales tax on gas. So that's not figured in their actual calculation. So I think we're actually lower than that. The bottom line of this proposal, really, I mean, if you look at it comprehensively to the typical vehicle owner, and we've looked at it and compared ourselves to our other upper Midwestern neighbors, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan, we think we're still, you know, somewhere in the kind of the middle of the pack with regard to the cost of vehicle ownership and operation in terms of state and local taxes and fees to the typical driver. We think we're still pretty much in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, and the same Taxpayer Alliance newsletter said Wisconsin was the lowest among when you consider everything.
Right.
Doesn't this amount, just staying one more time with the increase in that gas tax and the diesel fuel tax, doesn't this amount to return to indexing, which was discontinued in 2006, Mr. Secretary?
Indexing was a method of adjusting the motor fuel excise tax for the overall change in consumer prices. The proposal that we're making here is still a tax that could be adjusted on an annual basis, but it has a fixed component to it, and then it has a variable component to it that's actually based on the wholesale price of fuel. So it's tying it directly to the price of that commodity versus to the price of, you know, just general overall.
Okay, thank you. Next bullet point, transfers $574 million from the general fund to the transportation fund. Right now, as you know, the transportation fund's getting $133 million. This is four times that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This puts, you would like to divert $574 from the general fund, which pays for health care, the UW system. I don't have to tell you, as mm-hmm. a former legislator, mm-hmm. you're in direct competition with all the other demands. The Department of Health Services wants $760 million more for MA. The regions want $95 million more to pay for a tuition freeze, and mm-hmm. Secretary Evers of DPI mm-hmm. wants $613. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Defend your $574.
Sure. Well, budgets are about priorities. We believe that if this budget were adopted as we proposed it, just to put this into perspective, about 16% of our budget would be general purpose revenue at that point. So we're still, I would say, almost overwhelmingly, or certainly a large majority of our financing is still from user fees, and right. that's how it should be. And there are significant user fee increases, so users are being asked to pay, you know, the majority of what we're doing here. But having said that, there are certainly benefits that accrue from our transportation system to the economy as a whole, and not directly to individual users of the system. You might not own a car, you might, be a non-vehicle owner, but yet somehow your groceries got to the store and the things that you bought from Amazon.com got delivered to your house and so forth. So you rely, and there's economic benefit to everybody from our transportation system. So we think it's reasonable, as we again seek to broaden the base, that we're still predominantly emphasizing user fees in this budget, and I think transportation will always continue to be a predominantly user fee funded activity, but it is appropriate to have some general economic, you know, some contribution to transportation that is created by the overall just growth in our economy.
I think the actual language in your budget submission says that transportation programs help promote the, quote, general safety of Wisconsin. And so that you're kind of using that to justify
the
diversion. I was struck, I don't believe that your proposed budget delays any major highways or bridge projects, does it?
Correct.
Well, this makes then, you and I know the way it works in the Senate and the Assembly, it makes nobody mad then, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a number of, I think it's very important for us to continue to honor our commitments. And I'll give you an example. Okay, one of the biggest projects that we have going on right now is a zoo interchange.
$1.8 billion,
right, project down in Milwaukee. That project, we're well along the way. If you've driven down there, you see a lot of activity going on, a lot
Sunday
of cranes there.
Grandchildren.
Just, there you go. Just awarded the first major core contract that we had back in August. We've made commitments to the regional medical complex, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, who's put their innovation campus out there, to the local communities out there, Wauwatosa, Milwaukee, others. We've made commitments about the schedule that we want to maintain for that project, to complete it in 2018. Mm-hmm. Other people have made, you know, businesses and major local entities have made their own plans for redevelopment and improvement based on our plans for when we're going to get in there and get out of there. It would be wrong for us to say because of budgetary problems that we're not going to honor that commitment. We're not going to finish that project. We're going to delay it a year or 2 years and cause that much more disruption to the traveling public and that much more disruption to those property owners around there. So the zoo is an example of that writ large, but there are projects all over the state, major highway development projects, I-3990 here near Madison, Verona Road project, you know, we're working with businesses along Verona Road here in Madison. Again, I don't think they would be very happy to say, well, you know, what we told you we were going to finish in a year or two is really not going to be 3 or 4 years. So we think maintain our commitments on project schedules is really important.
Well, and let's talk about the Stillwater Bridge. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin's got to pay I think there's $16 million in your budget, but our full share of that is, did you remember?
Right. I don't know the exact number, but yeah, we have a couple projects like that. St. Croix Crossing, the Stillwater Bridge is one where that's a project being led by Minnesota, and we need to pay our bills on that. Another one is, the Hone Bridge in Milwaukee, where we're just going to be in the next biennium wrapping up the redecking and repair of that facility. So we're going to obviously need some money for that as well.
Your budget also adds two super majors. I think the Hale Interstate, well, anyway, to... You're not stepping back. You are staying on pace with what I think the Transportation Commission called a preserving the system budget. Right.
Right.
Okay. Well, the next item here is raises $5.6 million from a new $50 annual assessment on hybrid and electric vehicles. Now, your budget includes the numbers. The number of hybrid and electric vehicles is up like fourfold, fivefold over mm-hmm. 10 years.
It's been increasing.
So the way this would work is I don't drive a hybrid or an electric. I would continue to pay $75.
Right.
But if I did have a hybrid or a electric, an additional $50.
Correct.
How did you arrive at $50, sir?
The $50 was arrived at by taking a look at a typical sedan vehicle. In fact, I believe we used a Ford Fusion. And we compared the gas taxes, just the taxes. The gas taxes paid by a conventionally fueled Ford Fusion mm-hmm. and by a hybrid Ford Fusion. Looked at that on the typical number of miles driven by a vehicle in our state, which is about 12,000 miles. And we found that hybrid vehicle, because it's not always running on gasoline, is going to pay about $50 a year less in motor fuel taxes than the conventionally fueled vehicle. Okay. So that the person, so there was a sound basis for how we came up with the number. And again, you know, it's still going to be a lot lower fuel costs for people who drive hybrid and electric vehicles. But we just felt it's a matter of equity, and I think it's been pointed out other states have gone in this direction as well. That it's a matter of equity that vehicle is using our system. We have to still plow the road. We still have to maintain the highway for that vehicle. And they need to pay some fair amount of money, just like every other vehicle user is paying. And so it's based on their tax differential. Certainly, if you have an all-electric vehicle, you're still getting a much better deal because you're not paying any fuel taxes at all. But again, we think it's a matter of equity.
Well, I want to ask this question. I'm not anxious to pay more than my $75 on my 2010 sedan, but by the same token, as you know, that $75 annual registration fee has not been increased since 2008.
Right.
Isn't it time for an across-the-board? Because I think a 10% upper in that, 75 to 85, would raise an additional 45 million. Was an across-the-board increase considered?
Certainly an across-the-board option in registration fees is an option that's been talked about in the past and that is out there. Again, one thing to keep in mind is that when you change a fuel tax, then everybody who buys fuel in Wisconsin is paying that. That includes business people coming into our state, that includes tourists who are spending time in our state. We wanted to make sure, again, going back to this equity theme, we wanted to make sure that everybody who uses our system has some skin in the game here. So with motor fuel taxes, you have that. With registration fee, you don't, because it's just Wisconsin registered vehicles.
Okay. 40 million more for local government and road and transportation programs. This is money, and this is an upper, by the way. So this is money that goes to the counties, cities, villages, towns, correct? So this goes statewide.
Right.
Now, is this a two-year number or a one-year number?
That's a one-year number, ultimately okay. $40 million a year. And we heard loud and clear, well, this was something the commission talked about, the need for more investment by the state in making sure our local roads systems are maintained. Local roads are about 90% of all the roads in the state, but they carry about 40% of the traffic, but they're about 90% of the roads. We carry about 60% of the traffic on our state maintain system. Mm-hmm. But we heard loud and clear, especially after the last winter that we had, that was really a tough winter, and people were complaining about the condition of the local roads. So we think in this budget we're making significant additional investments in state assistance to, as you said, every local unit of government in the state, so that they can that we can help them maintain their street and highway systems at the local level.
Going through your budget, I had this question. Would the $40 million increase be in fiscal 16 or 17? I'm confused on that.
I think we're actually reforming. We're making a number of reforms in the programs of how we administer local aid. So it's going to take us some time to get that all sort of in motion. But I believe in the second year of the biennium, we would be at the $40 million, and we would continue at that an increased level from there on. So that's additional money for local roads and for local bridges as well.
And this $40 million upper, even though it's a one-year number, the second year of the biennium, got you attaboy and a praise. The League of Wisconsin Municipalities praised this. But I'm intrigued, $60 million more for public transit programs, and $30 million of which, or is a different program, for capital purchases. Can you talk about that?
Sure. The $60 million for transit is over the biennium, so it works out to about $30 million a year totally. You know, as a result of the commission, we had this initiative called Transportation Moves Wisconsin. We went around the state. We did 9 public town hall meetings, and we did a lot of other smaller meetings as well. And we heard loud and clear at those meetings that public transportation is really important to people, as those who have no other mobility options and those who have that consciously as a mobility choice. And we want to make sure that people have the ability to get to work, get to doctor appointment, get to school, and, you know, all the things that they use public transportation for. And again, it was something that the commission looked carefully at. So we have a proposal that does a number of things in public transit. There is a small across-the-board increase for every system.
I think 2%.
Then there's another provision that we're putting in a sort of a discretionary program that we can help to jumpstart new transit service, particularly that would enhance people's ability to get to employment centers and to get to jobs. And then, as you said, we have also a capital program. What's happened over the years is the transit systems used to be able to rely a lot on federal assistance to meet their capital needs, to buy new buses, to buy new facilities. Most of that, because of some changes in the way the federal government runs their program, a lot of that money has dried up for Wisconsin. So we're trying to make sure that that we can sort of backfill that a little bit, and that the transit systems, many of which are having trouble maintaining their fleets, and therefore their buses get older and they have to keep them on the road longer, and that increases their operating costs and breakdowns and affects reliability. So to try to help them make sure they're keeping their equipment on a fairly reasonable replacement schedule.
And I was very intrigued by a provision in your budget proposal CNG, compressed natural gas. Are you aiding in the conversion of buses across Wisconsin to CNG?
Right. Number of bus systems around the country are converting their fueling of their buses from diesel to compressed natural gas, mostly because there's a considerable cost savings over the life of a vehicle because of the much lower cost of compressed natural gas compared to diesel fuel. One of the impediments that exists to doing that conversion is you have upfront costs to build the infrastructure to fuel the vehicles. You have to have a fueling station and so forth. So this is a program that we're putting out there to see if there are local transit systems that are interested in making that conversion, that perhaps on a one-time basis would be a one-time program that we could incentivize some of those, help them sort of get over the hurdle of the infrastructure to making the conversion, and then be able to, they could then convert and save that money, you know, every year for the future.
Thank you. And moving on, $1 million to study tolling on interstates and freeways. I know that Assembly Speaker Voss is a fan of tolling, but he also adds it wouldn't occur for several years because there's a federal prohibition. Federal law has to be changed.
Right.
But you still envision tolling, and the study, the 18-month study would determine where it might be feasible?
As you said, there's been considerable legislative interest and some public interest in tolling. We just feel that if this, as you say, the federal prohibition is out there, if it were ever lifted, this dialogue would continue. Policymakers would want to know, how would this work? You know, where could it be done? We really don't have any of those answers. I mean, we never studied it. So we thought the prudent thing was that we ought to just study it so that if it becomes a point where policymakers want to talk about it in the future, we would at least have some data that we could give them as to how it would work.
Do you expect the federal law to be changed, Mark?
I think it's probably, you know, a 50-50 chance.
Okay. And then finally, it's a small item, but All of Us Drive increases the fine for seatbelt violations from 10 to 25. Is that to put us in line with our neighboring states? Is it to save lives? Why?
I believe we are the second lowest in the country. That in itself would not be the reason. That forfeiture has not been increased since it was enacted, I think back in the 80s. I'm not sure on that. But essentially our reason for this is that there is good data, good sound research data that tells you that as you increase that penalty, you increase compliance. And that's what we're really trying to do. This is not a revenue issue. We don't even get the revenue from this.
I think we're at 84.7% according to your budget.
Right.
Compliance.
Right. We've come up well in compliance. We're still not where we want to be. We're still not necessarily where some of the best states are. And again, this is not a revenue proposal. This money doesn't come to the DOT. We're solely doing this because we've seen the data that says if you make a modest increase in these forfeitures, you will cause more people to buckle up, and at the end of the day, you will save lives. And we have been having great success. This year we're going to, knock on wood, we're going to have less than 500 traffic fatalities in Wisconsin for the first time since 1943. But again, we can always do better, and we think this is one way that we would be able to help to further reduce needless injuries and fatalities on our highway system.
Drawing on your experience as a former assembly leader, is this a sellable package to lawmakers like you used to be, sir?
I think that there is becoming a very broad understanding that we need to do something with regard to how we're financing transportation in our state. We're not alone. My colleagues in other states, my counterparts in other states are all looking at these issues as well. So this is one package that we've put forward. It's certainly not the only possible way this could be done. Mm-hmm. The governor will consider it. He will make his recommendation to the legislature early in 2015, and then they will have a debate about the budget. But I think it's also fair to say that with the passage of the constitutional amendment, that's also made it, I think, reduced one more roadblock, if you will, to passing a comprehensive package to reform transportation finance. But I think people understand that, most people are starting to understand that if we continue on our current path with the revenues that we have, we will not be able to meet our needs. We will not provide the system that businesses and citizens of our state want to have, and so it's an issue that we need to tackle.
Let's look at some options that your budget, quickly, because we're almost out of time, didn't recommend. You didn't recommend charging sales tax on trade-ins, which, according to the Department of Revenue, would raise $91.7 million. Why did you stay away from that?
Well, that's something that's been a long-standing provision of state law. It certainly is something that has been considered in the past. We didn't put it into the package. Again, I think there are an infinite number of different ways that this thing could be structured. I think what we stayed with on the vehicle side of it was just a much straighter and cleaner direct user fee, which would apply to new vehicle purchases.
You also stayed away from like the Iowa system, which charges annual fee based on the age of the vehicle, the weight of the vehicle, and the price of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Why?
Mm-hmm. That's so-called value-based registration.
Yes.
Is certainly something that some other states do. If you will, I think what we're doing here is there is a value-based component to what we're doing. We're charging people a use fee, if you will, in advance. A new vehicle gets put into our fleet. It gets put on the highways in Wisconsin. That vehicle is going to pay a fee. That fee is value-based. As we talked about, it's based on the price of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be giving that person the opportunity to really pay that fee up front, have it financed with the vehicle, and
yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Are you going on the offense now? You're doing shows like this, and we're very grateful. Is the Transportation Development Association going to help you sell this? Who are your partners in selling this?
At this point, I don't think it's. I wouldn't call it selling. I mean, as a state agency, we've put a proposal together. It's in the governor's hands right now. It's at Department of Administration, and governor's got to think about how this works in with all the other, as you talked about yourself, all the other components of the state budget, and make a proposal. So we're happy to answer whatever questions come out about this and sort of explain, as we've explained here today, why we made some of the recommendations that we made. But I don't think it's a case where we're trying to sell it.
Okay. Is the Zoo Freeway on schedule to be completed in 2018, the Zoo Interchange?
Zoo Interchange project is going very well, and it is on schedule.
Then another controversial provision is rebuilding the freeway west of Miller Park between the two cemeteries.
Right.
DOT has not made an official recommendation on that yet.
Right.
And that recommendation will be coming when?
We have two alternatives that are for the piece between the stadium and the zoo. We have two alternatives that are still under consideration. We will be going and having two public hearings. On it. We've published our draft environmental impact statement, which has those two alternatives in it. We will be having two public hearings on that in December. And after we've digested all the comments from that, we anticipate early in 2015, we will come out with a preferred alternative.
And one of those options is double decking.
One of them is, yes.
And that's not Mayor Barrett's favorite thing. Well, in summary, then, you've recommended an ambitious budget because you have a pretty tall deficit, mm-hmm. and you think this is the best way to pay for Wisconsin's transportation future.
Right.
Secretary Mark Gottlieb, thanks very much for talking to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.